So before I get started, how many here are familiar with the Windows Azure SQL Database, what used to be called SQL Azure? A couple of you? How many of you are using Azure today? A couple of you? So let me ask this. This is going to assume that you have knowledge of Windows Azure SQL Database, okay? So would it help if we spent a few minutes kind of, for those that aren't familiar with it, would it help to kind of just spend about 5 minutes doing a quick intro to what it is? Would that help? Okay, good. All right, because this is going to assume that you know that. So that'll help. Okay, so my name is Scott Klein. I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft out of Redmond. There's my Twitter handle. Make sure I spelled that right. So we're going to talk about Windows Azure SQL Database and how to get your database from on-prem to Windows Azure SQL Database and the different methodologies and technologies and tools to get there. What do you need to do to prepare your database on-premise for that? All the tips and tricks, things like that. So the agenda we're going to follow, and I guess we're going to modify this just a little bit. We're going to talk about, who's SQL people in here? Most of you? Okay, good. So we will talk about, this is going to be primarily SQL Server, SQL Windows Azure SQL Database based, right? So it's going to assume you have knowledge of SQL Server, SQL Server data tools. It's not a requirement, but it'll help. And so we will spend a few minutes just talking about what Windows Azure SQL Database is. And then we'll get into the DAC framework, DACFX, the import-export service. We'll get into the SQL Server data tools. We'll then get into some other kind of third-party and other Microsoft-supported tools to migrate, and then some of best practices and things like that. Okay, so with that, let me jump out then and just spend about 5 minutes with just kind of overview of what Windows Azure SQL Database is. All right, I'm going to assume then we all know what the Windows Azure platform is, right? Windows Azure, Microsoft's cloud-based solution, hosts websites, virtual machines, things like that. So let me jump out then and spend a few minutes just talking about Windows Azure SQL Database. Make sure you can see that. Apparently we're having technical difficulties again. Come on. Mm-hmm. Nope, not that one. No, we're watching the video. Oh, there we go. Okay. So apparently it's up. Okay, cool. All right, so what we're going to do is, for you SQL Server people, Windows Azure SQL Database really is Microsoft's SQL Server solution hosted in the cloud, right? So it is SQL Server. So here I'm connecting to like on-premise, when you provision your server on-premise, you can name it things like Batman, Superman, Ratbert, Dilbert, things like that. We've all named things, our servers, funny names. In Windows Azure SQL Database, this is Microsoft saying it's platform as a service. Let us manage and host SQL Server for you. You don't have to worry about things like the maintenance, the management, licenses, things like that. So it's physical administration versus logical administration. So in the portal, what I can do is, and I've got all my servers here, so when I log into the portal, this is our Windows Azure portal. You've probably seen this throughout the last two days. These are my Windows Azure SQL Database servers, right? And notice my names here are not, they're generated for me. So how long does it take how long does it take you to provision a SQL Server on-premise? Anywhere from about 3-4 hours to could be a couple weeks, depending on if you have to provision the server and things like that, right? For me to provision a server, it's add, and I just fill it out. So I can say SQL Scott, give it a name, right? And then specify what region I want to put this server in. Now, what it does is when I click OK, it does not provision me a physical server. What it provides me is a TDS, excuse me, a TDS endpoint into the data, excuse me, into our data center, essentially, right? Because if we look at my server name, if we look at these server names, let's just pick this one here in North Europe. Right, we can see that my server name is actually, let me highlight that. That's my server name. Okay, so it provisions me really just a TDS endpoint that I will use to connect to my my databases. It is SQL Server. It is SQL Server 2012 on the back end. It is SQL Server databases when I create one. So I get all the benefits of SQL Server. So tables, views, stored procedures, triggers, indexes, primary keys, foreign keys, all that great stuff. It's the difference is that you now don't have to worry about all the maintenance, licenses, and upkeep and updates for SQL Server. Let us do that. No license costs. Let us do that. And really, the license costs are sort of built into the cost of the database. But really, let us worry about all the physical administration, and you get to do what you love, which is code, right? T-SQL, create databases, do all that great stuff, right? So if we look at this, I've logged into this server that I provisioned in North Central. I think the data center is here, I think actually in Amsterdam or the Netherlands. And I've got this database, and I'm connecting to this TDS endpoint. And the great thing about Windows Azure SQL Database is that it automatically provides the high availability and disaster recovery for you. For example, pop quiz. When I create a database in Windows Azure SQL Database, how many databases do I really get? Right, he's right, three. You get three databases, one primary and two replica, right? And you're always connected to that primary. And if any one of those ever goes down, it takes that offline, spins up another copy, and then synchronizes that one. Those three are always in sync, right? So, and that's free for the cost of that of the one database that you pay for, but you get three copies, right? That's one very hard to do and very expensive to do on-premise, but you get that free for the cost of the database in Windows Azure SQL Database. So if I have one database here, there's actually three copies of that, right? And I get automatically high availability and disaster recovery automatically, right? So it is SQL Server hosted for you, platform as a service. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, so with that, let's keep going. Judge, I think the point is I just need you to understand that it is SQL Server. It's you don't have to now worry about doing maintenance and upkeeps and things like that. We do that for you. You just get to develop applications, right? This talk is about hopefully things will go well here when I jump over. Come on. Come on. No switch? Come on. So we're going to have this problem every time we jump in and out?
Did you switch your first time?
The first time I did. I was told. All right, so we'll try not to go back and forth too many times. Come on. There we go. Yep, that's fine.
The last time, did you switch or not?
When did you move, switch what? Did I hit mix? No, I didn't. I just exited the... All right, we'll see if this works. Okay, so let's start off with talking about the DAC. So now we're going to just talk about how do I take this, an on-premise database, because we get that automatic. So on-premise, the whole purpose of SQL Azure is that, for example, let's say you've created the greatest things widget since sliced bread. It's going to sell a lot. People want it. the whole purpose now of Windows Azure SQL Database and really the Azure platform is that if I want to start selling this product that I have, I need to be able to support the load both from the application side and the database side to support the load, right? So on-premise, what that means is that I have to go buy a bunch of servers, both web servers, application servers, and SQL servers to support the load, right? So when Christmas is coming or Valentine's Day or Mother's Day or things like that to come, then you need to have all these servers to support the load, right? When those holidays and things like that are over and there's not that much demand for your product, you still have all these servers that are being highly underutilized, okay? So the whole purpose about the Azure platform is that I can scale up and scale down on demand quickly and easily, and that includes the database as well, right? And if you've gone to some of the Azure sessions, you've probably heard about this as well, right? So it's I don't want to have to worry about all this, you know, paying for all this underutilized hardware. Let me just pay for what I use, right? So this is Azure. So what now we're going to talk about is how do I take my database? I want to use the benefits of the Azure platform. How do I take my database now and migrate that to Windows Azure SQL Database, right? So what we're going to talk about is the DAC framework, the import-export service, which is hosted in Windows Azure SQL Server Data Tools. So let's start with the DACFX and the import-export service. So who's familiar with the DAC framework, DAC packs in SQL Server? Anybody familiar with those? All right, I'll show you those. All right, so let's start with the DAC framework. So let's make sure we're all on the same page as far as some of the terminology, right? When I say DAC, that's the data tier application. This is comes with SQL Server. When you install SQL Server, you get that, right? The DACFX is that the DAC framework. These are the set of client-side utilities and APIs that allow you to work programmatically with the data tier application, right? And we're going to spend some time demos doing a lot of that. DAC packs have been around for, I think, SQL Server 2005, at least 2008. I think it goes back to 2005. DAC packs, they're little units of deployment. Think of them as little MSIs, right? They're just little units of deployment, but all they contain is schema. What it allows me to do is create a DAC pack. I can take that DAC pack and deploy that to other servers, right? Like a little MSI, like a little installation, okay? But it only includes the schema. When with SQL Server 2012, they introduced the backpack, which is an awesome name, the backpack, which is that same artifact but includes your data as well, right? The great thing about these DAC packs and backpacks, when you do a backup in SQL Server, you get this .back file. Can you crack that open and look at the contents? No. But with a DAC pack and backpack, you can. You can open those because it's just XML and JSON and things like that. You can actually open those and see what's in there. And with a backpack, it actually includes the data, which makes it awesome for migration and deployment and things like that. Okay? So let's start with the DAC framework. These are just a set of client-side utilities automatically installed when you install SQL Server 2012. There is no need to install additional client libraries or MSIs unless you are running like early versions of SQL Server. Okay, and that's not necessarily true either because the DAC client libraries have been around since 2005. They get installed, but if you want to use the DAC client library and these backpacks with the import export service, which we'll get to, then you need to install SQL Server 2012. Okay. It's just wizard driven, so I'm going to walk through a bunch of demos to show you how easy it is to use these. And really, the whole purpose is just to simplify your deployment and migration process, right? If I want to take a database, instead of doing a .back file, let me create a DAC pack or a backpack, and I can push those to more than one server at any time. All right, the import export service. Import-export service, this is a Windows Azure hosted service. It allows me to migrate and move databases into and out of Windows Azure SQL Database using blob storage. Anybody familiar with blob storage, go to the, I think, Nick Harris's intro to Windows Azure yesterday. We talked about blob storage a little bit, right? Basically, it allows us to, it's a hosted service, allows us from the portal to do this, or one of the demos we'll see is we can actually do this programmatically to hit those servers. It's just an endpoint that we can reference, or just do these right from the portal, okay? But really, the whole purpose is to allow me to easily move databases or copy databases into and out of Windows Azure SQL Database, right? And so it's a great part of the migration process. It allows me, I can do from Windows Azure SQL Database to another Windows Azure SQL Database, or from on-premise to SQL Database, or vice versa, right? So a great part of the migration story. And it does use backpacks, right? So let's look at the architecture really quick, and then just a few more slides, and we'll get into some demos. So there's really nothing that you need to install, because everything's hosted for you, unless you need to install some of the client libraries, right? So in Windows Azure, if you have a Windows Azure account and subscription, you automatically get what you need is the blob storage. You need a storage account, a SQL database, and then the DAC import-export service. But there's nothing there. I'll show you. It's already there for you. You don't have to install anything. It's automatically there, right? From on-premise standpoint, all you need is the SQL Server 2005 or later to get the DAC client libraries. But if you have SQL Server 2012, everything's ready to go if you want to interact with the import-export service. Okay, and this should be a little clearer in a little. If it's not already, it'll be clear in a few minutes. Right, the DACFX, the client-side libraries, these are automatically installed, and then just the client-side tools, SQL Server Management Studio or SQL Server Data Tools. And we'll get into SQL Server Data Tools in a minute. Now, if you want to, anybody who's running SQL Server 2012, anybody? Okay, perfect. If you don't have SQL Server 2012 and you want the latest, you don't have to install the full engine. You can actually download just the client-side utilities for SQL Server 2012, and you'll get the latest client-side libraries automatically, right? And the SQL Server Management Studio is backward compatible to work with previous versions of SQL Server, okay? Okay, and just a couple more slides, and we'll get into some demos. So the whole purpose and the service benefits is with the import-export service we're talking about here, automated service endpoint, they're automatically there. You don't have to deploy anything. It's automatically, these services are exposed through the portal. I'll show you that in a minute. It uses a lot of the functionality under the covers uses BCP and things like that. So it is very performant, high performance for importing and exporting databases. Has anybody ever tried to build in or code connection resiliency into an application? Anybody try to do that? Nobody? Good, because it's really hard to do, right? But you get this automatically in the service. So if your connection drops or it's having problems reconnecting, it'll just automatically try to reconnect by itself, right? What's even better is this selective export. I can get very granular and say, I don't want to export the entire database. Let me just export these tables or these columns from these tables. It's very selective export and import, right? And then progressive status reporting, and we'll see some demos of that, right? Progressive status reporting means it'll give you not just, okay, now I'm processing this table or this table. It very very detailed progress reporting. And just some limitations. Requirements, sorry. We saw this a little bit, so on-premise, SQL Server 2012, all the requirements are already installed, and then it does work with 2008 R2 and earlier. If you want to work with the import-export service, meaning if you want to create a backpack that you can then use with the import-export service, you must have the latest client-side utilities. So if you don't want to, if you do not want to install SQL Server 2012 Management Studio, then you need to download the latest Datatree application framework, script DOM, and system CLR types. Okay? You have some options there. And then Windows Azure, just a storage account and SQL Server database, a server. All right, one slide, then some demos, because this is going to be very, after this, it's pretty demo heavy. All right? So not supported, SQL variant data types. There is no transactional consistency. So if I'm doing a backpack import-export, it's not transactionally consistent. There are ways to get around that, meaning you can do a create database as copy of, and then create your backpack, and we can go into more detail if you want from there. The database from on-premise, the database must be SQL Windows Azure SQL Database compatible, and I will show you what I mean in a demo. Secrets are not migrated, meaning passwords, encrypted stored procedures, things like that. And anybody still running SQL Server 2000 here? Good. A one? All right, we need to talk to you after get you to upgrade. All right. So with that, let me jump out and do some demos. This is going to assume that the demos I'm going to show you will be through SQL Server Management Studio, just to give you a foundation of how these backpacks work. And then we're going to show you how to get more granular by doing actually jumping into Visual Studio and doing some code. All right, so in SQL Server 2012, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to connect to my local instance of SQL Server. And in SQL Server 2012, what we have now is if you're familiar with generate scripts and things like that, I can right mouse click a specific database. So I'm going to work with this Contoso expense database right here, right? My Contoso expense database. What I'm going to do is if I right-mouse-click that database, we have two new options here. If I go in here, notice that we have Deploy Database to SQL Azure and then Export Data Tier Application. So the Deploy Database to SQL Azure is if I want to just take a one-shot, just take this database, deploy it to SQL Azure, I'm done. And actually, it'll create a backpack behind the scene, right? Temporary storage. What I want to do here is show you in this example, I'm going to say export data tier application. And notice here, if I click on this, I have it does create a dot backpack, right? So I do get the backpack, so it will do schema and data. But notice I have two options here. I can save it to a local disk, meaning I can create that backpack and save it locally, or I can take that same backpack and shove it into my Windows Azure blob storage, right? I'd want to do that if my database was fairly large, so I didn't have to send this database, this backpack over the wire a bunch of times. But since it's the database I'm going to do is fairly small, what I'm going to do is browse. I'm just going to store this locally. I'm going to walk through a couple examples. I'm going to call this contoso.backpack. So notice I get the contoso.backpack package, click next, and really at that point you can see it's starting to extract a schema, create an export plan, and it's not a very large database, but within just a matter of about 10 or 15 seconds. But what I want to highlight here is just it's already done about 5 to 10 seconds, but really the output I get is, hey, I'm just processing this table, I'm processing that table. It really doesn't tell me, how far along I'm getting, things like that, right? What I'm going to do again is I'm going to do this. I'm going to go into my account, and I'm going to actually bring that into, take that same database. Let me go into my storage account. I want to grab my North Europe? Let me just create a North Europe one. Yeah, let me create a North Europe one. So click create. I'm going to create this in, where's North Europe? North Europe. Call this Scott Klein North Europe. Okay. Okay. All right. While it's doing that, let me show you the import. So the import's just as easy. Right mouse click on databases. I'm going to just do this locally just as an example. So I'm going to say import data tier application. Next, I'm going to import from my local disk, contoso.backpack. On this step of the page, this is the, import from, uh, Oh, no, no, sorry. My bad. So I'm going to take this right into Windows Azure SQL Database. So I'm going to say import data tier, right? And the reason I want to point this out is because from the backpack, sorry, and click next, this is the important piece right here, right? It says, the cool thing with this is you don't have to pre-create the database. It'll create the database for you automatically, right? So it'll create a database. It'll actually, there's the name. You can change the name if you want to. It takes that name from the name of the backpack. The important piece here is these two bottom settings, right? Edition and maximum database size. In Windows Azure SQL Database, we're going to kind of back up here. In Windows Azure SQL Database, there's two editions. There is Web Edition and Business Edition. So in Web Edition and Business Edition, if I select Web, I get 1 and 5 gigabyte database sizes. If I select business, I get 10 to 150 gigabyte database sizes. We can talk more about that later if you want. The reason I bring this up is because it doesn't this wizard does not automatically look at your backpack and say, hey, I need to create a database of this size. It's up to you to say, my database is coming from a 10 gig database, so I need to create and select here the appropriate size of the database, the target database, right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, if you don't, it's going to fail, right? This database I'm importing is probably, what, one meg? So a 1 gig database is going to be fine. It's up to you in this wizard to say, make sure that you set these two options appropriately for the database that's coming in, okay? Click next, finish, and notice that this will take a few more seconds longer because it is going to across the wire to not locally but to the North Europe data center. Okay, and while it's doing that, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to show you how to. I want to show you the import export service now. So I've got my it is creating. Okay, oops, I don't want to do that. Come on, you can do this. So okay, we'll jump out of this. So there we go. So notice, again, the same status. It's just saying processing this table, processing this table. It really doesn't give us a whole lot of feedback on that. The import-export service, however, is okay, so it's already done. So what I'm going to do is with every storage account, you can get a set of keys. So I'm going to say manage keys. And I'm going to copy those to the clipboard. Because what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go back to my SQL Server, and actually I'm going to shove this same database, tasks, export data to application, to my storage account. So I'm going to say connect, and it was Scott Klein, North Europe. There's my storage account. I'm going to click connect. I'm going to put this in a container called, let's just create a container really quick. And I'll show you the import-export service really quick. So I'm going to say add container called backpack. We'll make this a public container. All right, so now I can go back here. I'm going to put this in backpack. Next, finish. So it'll do the same thing. And when it's doing that, what I'm going to do is go back to my databases node here. So I'll go to my databases, and notice here I have these two buttons over here, my import and export. These are the import-export service. These are the services are automatically hosted in Windows Azure in every data center. These two buttons are referencing those services. So once this is done, which should be done already, okay, so I now should be able to go over to my storage account in North Europe, go into containers, into backpack. There's the backpack that we just exported. So now I can go back into here. Oh, I'm going to jump back into my portal. Go to databases. I'm going to say import, and I'm going to import North Europe. Open. And I'm going to import that to, I'm going to call this just Contoso 5 and choose a server. I'm going to do this in the same database, password. Okay. And if I want to, I can do additional database settings, but no, I'm just going to say import, right? So what we've done is through the UI said, hey, I want to import and export. While it's importing, though, what I want to point out is now I've got this. Anybody familiar? Are you guys familiar with the AdventureWorks database? Right? So I've got on-premise this AdventureWorks database. If I were to do the same thing, export data to your application, and this is why we're going through this. So there's some logic behind my madness here. If I were to do this and just, I would save this as locally as AdventureWorks.backpack, click Next, and click Finish. Is this going to succeed or fail? Bam, fails. Why? Well, if we look at this, look at the error list. You know what? That's a different error message. Just try that again. Totally different error message. Just try that one more time. So we'll just say AW. That's interesting. I'm getting a completely different error here. The device is not ready. Really? Okay. You know what? All right, but the issue we get into, and I don't know why we're getting this error, but the issue we would get is that there are certain properties of the AdventureWorks database that are not supported in SQL Azure, like extended properties, like XML schema collections, like encrypted stored procs and things like that. So if we were to do this, I'm not quite sure why we're getting this. So you can see that database is already imported. But if we were to try to export this, we'd get this, you know, this list of errors here that's probably thousands of errors because, you know, the AdventureWorks database has extended properties on every table and column. So if you think of the number of tables and columns, there's a lot, right? So the issue is, well, how do I take this database and make it Windows Azure SQL database ready? And that's where the strength of this presentation is, right? All right, so what I'm going to do here, I'm going to jump out to Visual Studio and show you how we can use those client-side libraries to get much more feedback and granularity and control over our import and export process, okay? So what I'm going to do is I've got Visual Studio. I'm going to create a new project. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to just create a console application. We'll call this console application 3. It doesn't matter what we call it. Okay, and if I want access to the same client-side libraries, the DAC framework, I just need to add one reference here, and the reference is I've probably got it under recent. Nope, let's browse. Oh, there we go. This one, Microsoft SQL Server .DAC. Can you guys see that one? That's the one we just need to reference. So all we need to do is say that, and that adds. And that's all we need to add if we want. And really, to do this programmatically is so simple, I'm going to actually walk you through that. So what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to say using Microsoft.SQLServer.DAC, right? And then I'm ready to go. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say DAC services service. And then I'm going to add a code snippet here. In my code snippets, I'm going to add console.writeline. So what I'm going to do here is I'm simply going to say, I'm going to prompt me when I run this. I want to prompt me for the connection string, the source database name, the target database name, and then where I want it to create the backpack file, right? Now I'm going to just write a few lines of code, right? So I'm going to say most of this is in code snippets, but I'm going to write a few lines of code so you can see how easy it is. So service equals new data service, and I'm simply going to pass this target connection string. So there's one line of code. And what I want to do is get feedback on how long it takes me this import and export to go, because that's some of the feedback we didn't get right in through the UI. So I'm just going to say date time, start time equals. Not now, and then let's just import and export the database. It's going to be very simple, right? So to export one line of code, service.export backpack, and we're just going to pass it the file path. So this right here, and the source. Let's spell it right. Source database name. Okay. That's all we need to export our database to a backpack. How do we import? Same thing, using backpack package dot load, and we're going to load the same file path where we just exported it to. And while it's doing that, one line of code here. We're going to say service dot import backpack file path. Target database name. That's it. Okay. Two to four lines of code, really, to do the same thing that wizard did, right? And then what we're going to do here is, what did I miss here? There we go. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to add one line of code, control X, just to say calc time. How long it took us, what am I missing here? Service.import. Yeah, that should work. Oh, you're right. I got the wrong thing. Thank you. It's that one, not the file path. Thank you. Yep. Okay. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here and grab my connection string here. I don't want to type all that in. All right. So if we run this now, this is just going to do it locally. So I'm going to edit paste here. Okay, what's the name of our source database? That was Contoso Expense. Target database name, this is going to just do it locally, so I'm going to just call it Contoso 9, and d:\temp\, we'll call this Contoso 9.backpack. Okay, go. All right, so this is going to think a minute. What's missing here? What are we missing? Because this is just going to think a minute and then come back and say, hey, we're done. But what's missing here? Our feedback. Don't we want status updates? Don't we want to know what's going on? Any error messages? Right? So that's all done. Took 17 seconds. But really, nothing told us, hey, what's the status, right? We want to know what's going on. So what I'm going to do is finish that. Let's go add a couple lines of code and to show how to get that feedback, right? So what I'm going to do here is above here, I'm going to add one line of code. So I'm going to say I want to add event handler methods. Oh, and I want to add those. Sorry, wrong place. I'm going to add those down here, okay? And then right above, I think about it right here, and this may be in the wrong spot as well, but we can move that, event handlers, okay? Right, and I think I need, I got to fix these code snippets because this is received deck. Let's do that. All right, so with just a couple lines of code, we have, and this is service, SVC, right? So with this, we have two lines of code that says we have DAC message event args, event handlers, DAC service messages and DAC progress messages, right? We want to know any errors are coming back, what the progress is. We want to know much more beyond processing this table, things like that, right? And we simply can use the DAC service message event args and DAS progress message event args, right? That's all we're doing, okay? So let's run this again. And we'll paste this. Oh, darn it. Let's try that again. Copy. Paste. Okay, we'll Contoso expense. Make sure I call that right. We'll call this Contoso 8. And D colon backslash temp. 8.backpack. Now, watch the amount of message and information I get back if I typed everything right. Much more information than just we're processing this table, processing that table. It tells us the percent done. We can actually pipe this out to a text file if I want. But isn't this much more useful than just processing this table and processing that table? All by just a couple lines of code. All right, and this only took 13 seconds now, right? So much, much, much more information than just processing this table and processing that table, right? And just with a couple lines of code and all through the DAC client libraries, right? Isn't that much easier, right? All right, so how much time do I have left? Half hour. All right, so that's demo one, or demo two, actually. So let me jump out now. And so this is just using the DAC client libraries. One reference, and then you have access to everything. And we can actually use these same DAC client libraries like we saw in the first demo where we saw deploy to SQL Azure. We can actually use these same client libraries to do that same thing, deploy to SQL Azure, right? But we're not going to do that here. So a few lines of code. And now with this functionality, we get much more granular control over to how and when we can deploy our databases, or we can actually use this now to even back up our databases, because this was a local connection string, right? In this example, if I still have that, right? That was a local connection string, but what it is, I can actually use this with a Windows Azure SQL database connection string. So I can actually use this code to actually do backups from my database, Windows Azure SQL database, if I want to, right? So very nice, much more granular control. Now, we talked about this import and export service. Okay, this is, I want to take a database, and we saw that I can go in there and pull either import and export to and from a Windows Azure SQL database into and from blob storage, right? So how do I combine this code with the import export service? So let's do another one here. I'm going to save Visual Studio. And what I'm going to do here is I'm actually going to create and show you how to use the import-export service. So I'm going to create another console application. And we won't walk through all the code here, but I'm going to say console library or console application. Okay. And same thing. So again, I'm going to walk through and I'm going to say let's add that same DAC, so add reference, DAC, okay, and I'm going to say using dot DAC, okay, but what I'm going to do here is I'm actually going to add a new class to my project, and I'm going to call this import export helper. Okay, and I want to add the same thing here. Actually, so what I'm going to do? What I'm going to say? Control X, and I'm going to add a code snippet here, what I want to add here is import export helper. Okay. And what I'm going to do, so the thing I need to do here is I said earlier that the import-export service are services that are hosted in Windows Azure, and they're hosted in every single Windows Azure data center. So what I'm going to go over here, and I'm actually going to add a code snippet here called program start. Okay. And the reason I'm adding this is I want you to look at these. These are the endpoints of the import and export service. When I click the import and export buttons in the portal, it is calling these services. Same thing. What they've done is they've exposed those and made those available to us as well. So not only can I use the DAC client framework, DAC client libraries on-prem, I can use these same services to do the same thing through the portal. So now what I can do through code is do an end-to-end solution to say, let me import, export, export, or import, end-to-end through code, right? So what we need to do here is, I'm just going to say, let's grab the North Europe service. And all we need to do here is go over here and add a service reference. Go. And it found it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call this SQL Azure dot import export. Did I spell that right? There we go. So there's my service reference. And the reason we're doing that is because we're referencing that here in the import export server, import export, right? And we have to. We also need to call this console application 4, right? To get this to compile, right? Okay, and at this point we're all ready to go. We can start. But what I want to do is I'm not going to start writing a lot of code, because what I want to do in the last remaining few minutes is show you. I'll walk through this code just a little bit. But what I want to show you is how do I take an adventure my database that on premise and get that SQL Azure ready. Okay, but let me just walk through this, because this is actually really simple. It's not that difficult, because what we're doing is there's two methods on here. There's do export. And there is do import. And all we're really doing is we're saying both of these. The code that we would put here is just call the do export, and that'll get back a URI of the blob storage. And then we call do import, pass that URI, and it would just import out of blob storage, right? So let's just walk through. Let's look at that really quick, okay? So if we look at do export, right, what we're going to do here is we're going to set these properties to my server name, what the storage account name, storage account key, the database name, username, and password. So we'd hard code those in this example, and then we'd just call do import, do export, right? Let me just do a little bit of that, right? So I would say, let's just go back and look at this. So really what they're doing is they're just making, let's scroll up and look at do export, okay? We're saying we want to call this endpoint and call the export on that same endpoint, okay? So we're doing an export, and it's just an HTTP post. All we're doing is we're making a HTTP request, bam, to that service, right? And then we're passing into that service the information that we entered here, right? So the username, password, blob storage account, things like this, username and password. And then we're just saying, all right, make export. Call the export service. It'll export that to the blob account that we specified, and it does the same thing. So it calls the same information to get the same status and error messages back, but all we're doing is we're making a service request to say, export this database, and here's the information. That's it. Okay. There is on the code on MSDN code page this exact example, right, if you want to look at these. Right now, if we have time, I'll actually go through and finish this. If we have time, but does this make sense? We okay? We good so far? Okay. All we're doing is we're calling the same service, because if we do the import, it's really the same thing. We're just calling the same URI, but we're saying now we want to call the import operation, passing it the same set of credentials. Done. Right. Okay, with that, I'm not going to flip over to the code, but I do want to talk about SQL Server data tools, okay? And I'm not going to, just so we don't lose the video. Who's familiar with SQL Server data tools here? Anybody use those? One person? All right, a couple people. SQL Server data tools is a free utility that gets installed with Visual Studio 2012. It is an add-on to Visual Studio 2010, right? And what it does, it gives you come on. Yep, that one. It's SQL Server Object Explorer. That is SQL Server Data Tools. The ability to work with SQL Server and all of SQL Server through through Visual Studio, right? So you get declarative model-based database development. It's integrated right into Visual Studio. It does have support for SQL Server and Windows Azure SQL Database. It does give you connected and offline testing if you want. Does change detection, all those great features. And it's right in Visual Studio. You can write queries, you can do modeling, all these great things in SQL Server Data Tools. Connected development, schema deployment, things like that. And there's some great features I'm going to show you in this demo. Okay? So what I want to show you is, and let's try this one more time. For some reason, this might mess up our... I don't know why it's going to crap at us. Let's see if it behaves now. Nope, same thing. The device is not ready. So what we're going to do here... All right, let's try this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to create a whole new Visual Studio project. Create a brand new Visual Studio project. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to connect to, using SQL Server Data Tools, I'm going to connect to my local SQL Server. Okay, and I'm actually going to use the same database, and hopefully it'll behave. What I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new project off that database. We'll call it Database 2. I'm not going to make any changes. And what this will do is hopefully this will behave. It'll actually take that. Yep, it's not going to behave. So let's do this. Let's stop that. And bear with me a second because this was behaving yesterday. I'm actually going to delete this database. And I'm going to re-add it. I'm just going to attach from. Where's my database? You know what? Okay. Sorry. Remember, this was behaving yesterday, so I'm going to go find... can I do this? Import. Oh, restore. I think I saved this. All right. What I'm going to do... Crap. All right, bear with me 1 second while I go re-download this database. I think I have this somewhere. This was behaving yesterday, so I apologize. Let me go back. I actually have that. We're gonna actually get, I have this here, so it was behaving yesterday. So I'm just going to take SQL Server 2012, this one. Come on. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to save that really quick. I'm going to save it here. Shouldn't take too long to download. 8 minutes. How fast is the pipe here? All right, I apologize. This was working yesterday. All right. So what I'm going to do is let's try this with a different database. Maybe this will work. Let's export data to your application. Let's try this because maybe this one will fail. And we'll do this while this was downloading. Shouldn't take too long. All right, so we'll just call this Northwind. Is this going to blow up on us? Really? Is my D drive acting up? All right. You know what? While that's downloading, let me get into, let me keep going a little bit and show you some other things, and then we'll jump back into this. I don't know why that's having issues. All right. Huh? Yeah, so I'm running this as admin. So I don't know why it's giving me those fits, but I am running as admin. I should be running as admin. Maybe I'm not. But it's not, I don't have to be running admin. I don't have to run as admin to export a backpack, right? If I do need to be running as admin to attach an MDF file, but I don't have to be an admin to export this. Because we've seen this a number of times. I exported the Kitoso fine, and I'm not admin. So for some reason, those databases might be corrupt. This was working when I was testing this yesterday, so something happened. But let me jump in a little bit, and let's walk through this. And while this is downloading, and then because we still have 15 minutes left, so maybe hopefully this will finish, and I'll be able to walk through this. Okay. Other migration tools, because we need to talk about this. One of the great things with SQL Server, starting with SQL Server 2008 R2, is the ability to export for SQL Azure, right? Not backpack scenario, right? But actually use the generate scripts wizard. For example, let's take the Contoso expense database, and let's do tasks, generate scripts. Okay, what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to select all the tables. Okay, but one of the great things in the advanced dialog, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, is the ability in the, there's two new properties they introduced in SQL Server 2008 R2, right, is the script for SQL Server version, and more importantly, script for the database engine type, right, these two right there. Do you guys know that you can drop that down and script for SQL Azure Database? That's awesome, because what it'll do is it'll go through your database and kind of highlight that this needs to be fixed, this needs to be fixed, and this needs to be fixed, right? So if I take this, what I like to do is there's some pros and cons to using this generate scripts wizard, right? I like to recommend people that maybe what they do is they go and say, just to understand how Windows Azure SQL Database works, go back here, previous, not select all the tables, right? Maybe select one table, maybe a stored procedure view, things like that. Script for on-premise, right? So script for not SQL Azure, but script for standalone. Well, let's go to a new query window. All right, so there's our query, but let's take now, so what I like to recommend people do is take this script now and run that against a Windows Azure SQL Database instance and see what kind of errors you get back, right? Because that kind of helps you understand what's supported, what's not supported, right? Kind of just an education thing. But the ability that I can take a database and script for Windows Azure SQL Database saves me a ton of time. But one of the challenges with the generate scripts wizard is that if you have a large database, because you can also use the same generate scripts wizard to script data as well, is you might have this huge output file, and it becomes unmanageable at that point, right? So maybe you use this to generate just the schema and use other tools to do data, okay? That's awesome. But this is a great way to educate yourself as to what's supported and what's not supported in Windows Azure SQL Database, okay? All right, that's Generate Scripts Wizard. Kind of use it maybe for schema but not for data, because you might get a large file if you're doing data. Like if you were to generate the AdventureWorks database with data, it's 300,000 plus lines, you know, or more. And you know, depending on how much memory you have on your PC, it won't even open the script, right? So, I don't use it. I use this just for demo purposes. Generate scripts, which is awesome, but maybe you just use that for schema. Okay, next, BCP. Who's familiar with BCP? BCP is awesome. The challenge with BCP in a migration is that it does not do schema. Right, your database has to already exist in Windows Azure SQL Database, okay? But other than that, once you've got your database and schema, then you can use BCP to BCP out the data and BCP it in, right? And it's actually fairly straightforward. It's not hard to learn. It's just BCP out. And the great thing is that it will it does automatic retry for you. So if there is a failure, connection failure, it'll keep retrying, right? So you can actually take a fairly a large amount of data and migrate that to SQL Azure, even over the wire. It's fairly quick. The downside is it does not do the database has to already be exist, and the database and the schema, the receiving tables, right? SSIS, same thing. It's great. You can use SSIS on premise to connect to your target, your source, and your target. Your target is SQL Windows Azure SQL Database. Same thing with BCP. Your database and schema already has to exist because you have to map the source and destination, right? But it works as well. Okay. The SQL Database Migration Wizard. Anybody familiar with that? This is a CodePlex project. The downside with this one is that it is, since it's a CodePlex third party, it is not supported by Microsoft. But it really does the same thing as the Generate Scripts Wizard, but it's got a UI in front of it. So you pick your target, pick your source database, pick your target, and behind the scenes it generates a script, runs that script against SQL Azure. Thank you. And then will BCP out and in your data. Okay. If there's things that are not, the challenge with this tool is that if there's things that are not supported in Windows Azure SQL Database, it just kind of marks them out and doesn't run them. So you have to interrogate the script first. And then lastly, these are supported. These are migration assistants that you can find out on MSDN. There's one for Access. There's one for Oracle. There's one for MySQL, for DB2. These are little migration assistants that will actually take a database from on-prem and migrate it to SQL Azure. But it's, for example, in some of the blog posts and video series I've been doing, how are we doing here? Woo, done. We actually might get to do this demo after all. Let's do this. Let's copy. Let's move this to the C drive. Just for giggles, so we don't have an issue. Okay, so now what we're going to do, let's just exit out of here. Let's run this with admin privileges. Connect locally. All right, come on, you can do this. Attach. Everybody cross your fingers. Come on. What? Oh, yeah, you're right. Thank you. There is no log file. Remove. Try this again. Thank you. Just have it. All right, let's try this again. And hopefully we'll have success. Next. Up. What did I select? Tasks. Export data to your application. It's looking promising. Come on. Come on, fail. Yeah, okay, so this is what we want. I've never been excited about a failure before. Fail, yeah, it failed. Okay, so now this is an important thing, right? Because now we know it's working, it's kind of, you know, chung and teak working, right? But if we click on this, right, there's our error list, right? Look at all those errors. Bam, 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 bam. I've never counted these, but that's a lot of errors. And you're looking at this going, crap, how do I get this ready to move to SQL Windows Azure SQL Database? Okay? So with this is the best demo, really, I think, because it really shows the power of SQL Server Data Tools. Because if you're looking at this list and going, if I have to fix all of those to get my database ready for Windows Azure SQL Database, that's not happening. I'll just stay on-prem, or I'll use like a SQL Server in a VM or something, right? But then you sort of, you don't get all the wonderful benefits of the Azure platform. So let's go back and let's close all these and let's start a new project. No, Close that. Don't need that. All right, so let's start a new one. Administrator. Yep. So we've already connected to SQL Server Data Tools. We need to connect locally again. Okay. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to say same thing. Create new project, and this should work. All right, so this is a multi-step process, right? So basically what it's doing is it's saying, all right, we're going to create a database project in Visual Studio. This doesn't take that long. It says 1 in 4,000, but it only takes like a couple seconds. This is running locally. See, done already. Okay. So now I have this database project over here. And if I go over here and say properties, I can set the platform also to Windows Azure SQL Database. Okay. But if I do that and save, right, and then rebuild, rebuild solution, I get that same list, right? But at least now I can go, double click, oh, there it is, right? But now it's still, I'd be knocking off these issues one at a time, right? Doesn't save me any time, right? So let's do this a little differently, right? New database, new project, okay? And what I'm going to do here is, I'm going to go to SQL. Did you guys know that in Visual Studio comes as a SQL compare? Do you guys know that? Yeah? Who knew this? Right? This is awesome. Right? So I'm going to say new schema comparison. Okay? And I'm going to select as my source my AdventureWorks database. That one. Okay? And as my target, I'm going to select, before I do that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create an empty project. Let me do that again. Sorry. Schema compare, new schema comparison. And then what I'm going to do is, so select source, choose my database, which is that one, as my select target. Project. I need to create a new project. So I'm going to say, So I'm going to create file new project. I'm just going to create an empty database project. Down here somewhere. Where's my other projects? SQL Server. I'm just call it database one, an empty project. All right. Then. All right. So then I can go over here, select target project. Database one, so that's my empty project, okay? So now I have, I'm comparing the original AdventureWorks database to an empty project, right? And my project is going to be, I'm not going to change this project. I'm going to keep it, the source SQL Server, right? However, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go into my options to object types. What I'm going to do now is how do I fix these issues. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to actually go through and I'm going to, let me scoot this over real quick. Because I can knock off the majority of these errors by going through and saying this, by unchecking some of these, right? So here's my list. Now you're looking at this list and going, what? Those aren't supported? I'll explain why these aren't supported. Because a lot of these, if you think about physical administration versus logical, these don't need to be supported by Windows Azure SQL Database. We can go further. So, right, so I'm going to unselect aggregates, application roles, assemblies, keys, broker properties, certificates, contracts. How am I doing on time? 2 minutes? All right, we'll hurry. All right. Certificates, contracts, defaults, extended properties. That just knocked off about 3/4 of all our errors. That one checkbox. Okay? And then extended properties, file groups, file tables. Those, message types. So we won't walk through all of this, but message types, partition functions, partition schemes, queues, If I miss one, let me know. Remote service bindings, rules. Let me scroll down here, make sure I get them all. What did I left off? Rules. Yep, sequences. Thank you. Sequences, services, symmetric keys. And then lastly, a few more of these. User-defined CLR. Yep, CLR. And then XML indexes and XML schema collections. Click OK. Right, and then what I do is I can just at that point I just compare, and we'll go through. We'll finish this. So yeah, let me wrap up real quick, okay? But what this does is this actually does a comparison. It'll come through and say, all right, since I'm comparing this to an empty project and I don't want to include these, my error list just went down from probably a couple thousand to maybe a few hundred, right? So there it is. Update. So I'm gonna update the target. I'm walking through this real quick. So this will only take a couple seconds as well. So target update complete. Okay, so there's that. So there's my target. And now if I set this to Windows Azure SQL Database, right, and save and compile, right, I'm still going to get a few errors, and let me show you. So for example, row good call. If I double click on that, I can go through here and say Control H, and I want to replace that with nothing. Let me do it this way. Edit, find and replace, find in files. This is row good call, entire solution. I want to replace that with nothing, entire solution, replace all. So that replaced 29 occurrences. So that just knocked off all of those. Now I can go through and say, okay, not for replication. So where's my not for replication? Same thing. Edit, find, and replace. Replace in files, replace that. So that found a bunch of them. And then lastly, where's my error list? XML schema collection. Right. So if I do, all I have to do now is remove these. So remove that one. Where's the next one? Let's see. Let's rebuild. So there's only a couple of those, right? Oh. So now we're out of time. But now if I just go through at this point and say, just remove all the XML schema collections, at this point, when I clean those up, if I were to recompile, it would be SQL Azure ready, Windows Azure SQL Database ready. So within just a matter of minutes, what I did is I basically did a schema comparison, unchecked off a few things, rebuilt, cleaned up a few things that the wizard didn't pick up, right? Then cleaned them up, and I'd be all ready to go. And at that point, all I need to do is now just from here, I can then deploy my database, this to either on-premise back or to Windows Azure SQL Database, and I'd be done. So just instead of going through and knocking off all those issues one at a time, and I apologize for the technical difficulties, but within, 3 to 5 minutes, I took a database that had at least a couple thousand errors and cleaned them up, and now I'm ready to deploy to Windows Azure SQL Database, right? So the power in all of this is SQL Server Data Tools. The DAC Client Utilities gives you the ability, and lastly, if you go out on the code page for MSDN, for the Windows Azure code page, all these examples are out there and ready for you to play with if you want to see how these are done, right? And there's actually one that uses a WinForms application to show you how to do an end-to-end export, upload to Blob Storage, and then call those same import-export services to import into Windows Azure SQL Database, okay? Anyway, I apologize for the technical difficulties, but I appreciate you coming, and I'll hang around if there's any questions. But thank you. Appreciate it.